Hello, we're back for another week, learning the Tzenna Arena on this week's Parsha. If you've been listening to these shiurim, I'd love to hear from you. I'm on Instagram, and I'd love to hear what you enjoy learning about, what your impressions of the Tzenna Arena after you've learned it, and if there's anything else you would like me to include or have any good ideas for what we can include in this recording. So let's get into this week's Parsha. This week's Parsha, Parshas Emor, deals with a few important topics related to the Kohanim. Who can get Tameh? How can they become richly impure? And what are the rules to live life as a Kohen? This Parsha begins with a very short quote from Mishlei before jumping into the Parsha. In the past, there's been a longer discussion about the quote from Mishlei and the Musar. This week it's a little bit shorter. And the interpretation, according to Rashi, is that lips should kiss the one who says a straight answer. The Malbim says, lips will kiss the one who talks straight. The Tzenna Arena says, when someone speaks well, when they speak good and sweet words, people want to kiss him. They want to express affection to them. It's a turn of phrase. It's like when you hear something that's really incredible, you go, oh my gosh, I love you. Right? We want to express how much we appreciate and connect to that person. I think we can relate to this. When someone says something, a really beautiful idea, and they say it in an articulate way, in a way that it touches our heart, we feel connected to them. And sometimes I'm sure for me, there's a drasha or a speech where I remember what the person said because they said it so powerfully. That's the pshat of what this pasuk means. But there's also a drash, a homiletic interpretation of this pasuk. And that is that one who speaks the words of Torah, someone who speaks good things, meaning the words of Torah, are deserving of getting a kiss from Hashem. And when is that kiss? That kiss is upon their death. When they're dying, they die in a special way called a misas neshika, a kiss that brings from Hashem that brings death. The Rabbeinu Bachaye explains why a person who learns Torah all the time is deserving of this kind of death. And he answers that when a person learns Torah, his thought processes connect with spiritual way of thinking, and he becomes connected to Hashem. As he learns more and more, he becomes more and more connected to Hashem, so that when he is ready to die, his soul is already connected to Hashem. It clings to Hashem, and it leaves his body behind. That is what is called a misas neshika. This is what happened to Moshe and Aaron, that Hashem kissed them and their neshama left. Miriam, the Tzenna Arena tells us, also died with a misas neshika. But this is not written explicitly because it wouldn't be appropriate to write about the death of a woman in this way. Another example of a person who died through a misas neshika was Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. He was the one who wrote the Mishnah, and as well as Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They all died from a kiss from Hashem, and without the Malach HaMavis, without the angel of death. So why did Rabbeinu HaKadosh merit to die in this way? He was a very wealthy man, and he never enjoyed anything from this world. His soul wasn't connected to this world, and so it went up to Hashem. The Talmud Yerushalmi says that on the day Rebbe died, Rebbe Yane went through the streets and said that on that day there is no more kahuna. Kohanim no longer have a prohibition that is listed in Parshas Emor to attend the funeral, because they would not become tameh from this death. A Kohen, according to our Parsha, can only become Tameh for his immediate family. However, when Rabbeinu Yehuda HaKadosh died, the Kohanim could attend the funeral and they could even help with the funeral because the body wasn't Tameh and it couldn't make others Tameh. Others die by Malach HaMavis, and that causes Tumah to enter into the body. Here, because Rebbe died through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no Tumah entered the body. The Tosfos in Ksuvos says that this is only talking about the Tumah that is related to a rabbinic prohibition, a Derabanan. The Tzenna Arena is quoting the Rabbeinu Bachaye, who holds like the Ramban at the beginning of Parshas Chukas, that Misa Sadikim doesn't cause Tumah at all. Now, so while the Kohanim are not going to become Tameh from the death of Rebbe or Moshe Rabbeinu or Aaron, or from those who die with a Misa Neshika, they are going to become Tameh if they participate in the funeral of every other human being who dies from the Malach HaMavis. And the laws that are found at the beginning of our parsha apply in this case. And that's why it says, Emor el HaKohanim, say to the Kohanim, tell them, It is usher forbidden for Kohanim to become tamei from a mace, from a dead body. Even the children of Kohanim, Mr. Cohn Jr., who is only 5 years old, they're told not to become tamei, not to go into a cemetery, and not to participate in a funeral. The Tzenarena now asks the question about the story that he quoted from the Yerushalmi. How could Rabbi Yanai say arbitrarily that for Rabbi Nukakodosh, there's a 24-hour break? Before you had to worry about the death of people and afterwards. But for today, you don't have to worry. You're not going to be able to become tummy. Tzenarena answers that the minute a Jewish soul leaves a body, it goes up to Shemayim, it goes up to Gan Eden, and it leaves behind a vacuum. And the Ruchos HaTumah, the impure spirits, enter this vacuum left by the soul. And they think that they're going to be able to get a free ride up to Gan Eden with that soul. So they stay with the body in order to be able to rise to Gan Eden just like the soul did. This is why a body becomes tameh, because it becomes filled with tumah the minute the soul is sucked out of it. Surely, the neshama of Rabbeinu HaKadosh went up to Gan Eden, so the kochos haTumah would have gone up, tried to gone up with him. And so, how could Rabbi Yanai announce that there's no tumah here? Rebbe was different. He taught the whole Torah to the whole nation. This is why Rabbeinu HaKadosh is called in the Mishnah and Gemara, Rebbe, my teacher, because he's my teacher, he's your teacher, he's everyone's teacher. He taught everyone, and he is responsible for all of our Torah Shval Peh that has been passed down to us. For this reason, it's as if Rebbe's lips, so to speak, never stopped talking. They're always moving. He's still teaching us Torah. When I am explaining a pasuk with Rashi, I say about that pasuk, Rashi says this, the Ramban says this. I don't say Rashi said or the Ramban said. However, when I'm talking about something secular, if I'm quoting the Gettysburg Address, I'll say Abraham Lincoln said 47 years ago. I don't say Abraham Lincoln says. He's dead. He did it in the past. When we're talking about Torah, that thing that person said is never subject to death. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Agura bo'alecha olamim, I will dwell in your tents forever. David HaMelech is saying that he would like to live in this world and in the next world forever. The Gemara asks, how is it possible for someone to live in this world and the next world at the same time? The Gemara answers, David is begging Hashem that people should tell over the Torah that David taught after his death. And then it would be as if his lips are speaking in the grave, like it says, Dover Sivasai Yeshenim. It's as if when we say the Torah of somebody who is not alive, it's as if the Talmud Chacham is speaking while they are in the grave. So this is what happened. Rebbe's lips never stopped moving as everyone was learning his Torah and continued to learn his Torah. So the Kochos HaTumah thought, maybe this body isn't vacant yet. So they didn't touch him. They didn't move in. This is how the Kohanim of his generation could attend and participate in this funeral. What is the lesson that we can learn from this section of the Tzenarena? I think the lesson is that there are many people who are no longer with us. I miss my grandmother. I miss my grandfather. I miss people, teachers, who are no longer here. How can I keep them alive? The answer is that they shared words of Torah with me. They shared meaningful ideas and wisdom. And so when I say those ideas over, when I quote them, I am keeping them in this world. For ourselves, we can also think, how do I want to extend my life on this world? What legacy am I going to leave? We can worry about leaving inheritance, money. Or we can think, how can I give over Torah and wisdom to my children, to students, so that they will continue to share what I have to say, and so those words will continue to keep me alive forever? The Tzenarena now moves into some more laws about the Kohanim. The Pasuk says, Ve'amor v'amarta. It repeats the command to share these laws with Kohanim 2 times, and it uses the same root, the same shoresh, Aleph Memresh Amar, to say. This double phraseology teaches us that if a Kohen stumbles upon a dead body and there is nobody else to bury that dead body, the Kohen is obligated to bury it. These laws are said to Bnei Aharon, the sons of Aharon, not the daughters. The daughters of the Kohanim can go to the cemetery. There is no mitzvah for them not to attend a funeral like a Kohen has. The reason is that women who descend originally from Chava are responsible for the sorry state that exists in this world called death. And so therefore, all women have an obligation to take care of the dead, to do the exalted mitzvah of burying the dead. And even the Kohanim women are not exempt from this mitzvah because of the hand that Chava had in bringing the death into this world. This parsha about Tumas Meis, about becoming impure from a dead body when it comes to Kohanim, is written next to Parshas Kedoshim. In Parshas Kedoshim, we learn about the magic of the Ov Yedoni, sorcery, that where they would call up the dead in order to prophesy about the future. These subjects are written next to each other so that we can contrast the two perspectives of death and what Hashem and the Torah wants from us. The Ov Yedoni worked when, let's say, a person wanted to know, should I go into business or not? Should I go into war or not? They would go to a sorcerer who would tell him yes or no. Why would a person go to a sorcerer? They would go to a sorcerer because they didn't have anybody connected to Torah, like the Kohanim, who could answer them based on the Torah. We have the Kohanim, who could ask the Urim V'Tumim for guidance. And so we didn't need to go to the sorcerer to use the power of Tumah, because we could go to the Kohanim who had the power of Tahara of Kedusha. The Pesukim tell us that a Kohen can only become Tameh for his relatives, which include his father, his mother, his sister, his brother, his daughter, his son, blood relatives, and his wife. If a Kohen has to bury a relative, he can go near other graves in order to do so. But then he can't come back to visit the grave once he is no longer burying the relative. And he can be in the house when that dead relative's body is there before the funeral. The Tzenavana tells us that the Rebbeinu Bachai and the Toldos Yitzchak asked, how come it says, Imo Bila Aviv Timei, that he can become impure for his mother and father? Why not? Is it not written in the opposite order? We learned last week that the order in which the name of the mother and father written in regard to Shabbos is very significant, and it teaches us a lesson. The Tzenarena tells us that there's a reason that the mother is written first. Rabbi Avram says that the women die younger than the men, so the women come first because that's going to be their experience. First, the Kohen is going to need to be tameh for his mother, and then for his father. So if that's the case, why for the Kohen Gadol does it say for the father and the mother? The reason is that with the Kohen Gadol, everyone knows who his mother is. She gave birth to him. So of course, he can get tameh for her. But when it comes to his father, it's not 100% sure that this is his father, because there's no proof, because nobody is there when he gets conceived. So even though there's no absolute proof that this is his father, he can still become tummy. The Kohen Gadol is the opposite. For the father, he doesn't know 1,000% that it is his father, so he can't become tummy for him. But for the mother, where everybody knows that it's for sure the Kohen Gadol's mother, he still is usher to become tummy. Torah then tells us that another halacha regarding the Kohen, that he shouldn't tear out his hair when a person dies, and that he can't tear out his hair or self-harm. The reason that he can't harm himself when somebody dies is people might say that this Kohen thinks that Hashem did something bad by causing the other person to die, and it was wrong for the person to die. And so it will come that they're going to doubt Hashem and say that Hashem did something wrong, which is a big chilul Hashem. Chazal say, in addition, that a person who cries in excess will mourn again. Alternatively, the Tzenarena says, they explain that a person who mourns too much, what they're saying is that this person who died did not go to Olam Haba. And so it's making a statement about the person who died that they really weren't that holy. So if they cry too much, they're saying that they're upset that they died because they're not going to Gan Eden. This is a chilul Hashem because every Jew has a place in Gan Eden. Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelek l'olam haba. Another explanation is that a Kohen Whatever he's doing, he's always serving Hashem. He's in front of Hashem. As a mashal, if you have a palace guard and he's standing in front of the palace, he is expected to wear a uniform that is crisp and clean and reflects his status. He can't be dirty. He has to have a nice haircut. If a Kohen maims himself, he won't be able to serve Hashem properly. The Pesukim continue that the Kohen Gadol is different than other Kohanim. He can't become Tameh except for a Meis Mitzvah, not even for his mother or father. And he can't marry a widow, only a single woman who's never been married from before. This is because there's a difference in how the Kohen Gadol is intimate with his wife. If the woman had been married before, it would be an adjustment for her, a hard adjustment, for her to have to adjust to how she will relate to her husband. If she were single, she wouldn't know that there was any other different lifestyle. The Kohen Gadol has to be more important in five ways. He needs to be handsome. He needs to be strong, rich, smart, and honored. And he needs to be wealthy. And if he's not, his brothers need to supply him with wealth in order that he should have a greater status than his brothers. The Kohanim also have to be physically perfect. If they have a mum, a physical defect, they can't bring a karbon. If the Kohen limps or if he's blind, he can't do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Whether he is born with this deformity or he gets it later on, he cannot do the avodah if he is not perfect. He can eat truma, and he can also eat the meat from the karbanos. If a Kohen is tameh, he can't do the avodah. In contrast, a zar, someone who is not a Kohen, cannot eat from the karbanos or from the truma. But the servant of a Kohen, an Eved Kenani, can eat. A Bas Kohen, who is married, can't eat. But if the husband dies and she has no children, she can come back home and eat. If a Levi Yisrael eat food that is meant for a Kohen, he needs to return the food to the Kohen and has to add 1/5 to the cost. The Parsha then outlines other laws regarding the life of the Kohanim, the karbanos they bring, before it ends with laws about the Yom Tovim. What can we learn from this week's parsha? I think there are a number of lessons that are contained in this week's parsha. And the first is that representatives of Hashem need to be aware of their status and how they are perceived. They need to be conscious of that they need to live according to a higher standard. They need to be conscious of when they can become tameh, when they can't become tameh, how they represent to themselves, how they mourn. They're acting as a conduit for the Jewish people to Hashem. And so the lesson that we can learn from this is that when we are serving Hashem, we need to try to do it in the best possible way, to be the most perfect people we can be as we serve Hashem. And if we represent Hashem to others, we have an even greater obligation to do so with purity and with intention. And the Kohanim, when we have Kohanim amongst us, we have to understand that they have been given a special role in our community to help us bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to teach us this Torah, and to help us come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through His service. Have a good Shabbos.